What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Cold Takes Pod. I'm your host, Cooper Slough, joined by my co-host, Jonah Carlson. Jonah, what is going on with you?
Dude, the vibes are, they're high right now, and they're probably the highest they're going to be until, you know, next, after football season, pretty much, because the Broncos aren't going to do anything this year. It's going to be just pain and heartbreak, so I'm enjoying
this. You're already on that. You're not even going to give him a chance?
No. I've seen this story too many times, and I'm just enjoying the last week before my heart gets broken every Sunday, so.
Who did the Broncos open with? Is it a division game?
Yep, we opened the Raiders.
And we're already, like, that, in shambles week one?
I don't think Judy's playing, and I honestly think Garoppolo's going to dot us up, so.
Yikes. I'm excited that the NFL is back, and we're going to talk about the NFL a lot. Obviously, the day that this is being released is going to be hopefully Thursday, and so tonight will be Lions at Chiefs, so we'll be hitting that. We're going to be hitting our new bit called the Internet Take of the Week. We'll get more into that towards the end of the pod, but I am excited about the NFL returning because in June, July, I am not 100% sure when I put this lay down, but for the last couple months, I've been sitting on this season-long parlay, $20 to win $400, and I actually have two of them, so really it's $40 to win $800 if, like, everything was to hit, which it won't, and I've already accepted that, but Thursday night is, like, the beginning. And I am just, I'm juiced. One of the legs is Travis Kelce over 1,125 and a half receiving yards. This is like season long, so through February. And I'm just juiced. Like, I guess I'm going to be a little negative as well. You know what? No, I'm not. I already said last week that the Panthers are going to win the division and we're going to suck, but I'm going to see a Panthers home playoff game and I will be there if it happens. And it's going to happen. It's fine. But this is honestly more because we're not going to, like, the Panthers aren't going to the Super Bowl. We're not doing anything, like, special this year. So this is what I'm really locked into. Like, more than the Panthers doing well, if the Panthers go 0-17, but this hits, like, it's fine. I don't care.
Make $800.
So it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. As we're recording this, Travis Kelce is doubtful or questionable or whatever he is, but it's the fact that it's not 100% green light worries me. To get to, what did I just say, 1125, yes, receiving yards on the season, that math is like 85 yards a game, which is still like a lot of, like, yards for an individual player to get per game. And I really need him to play every, like, obviously if he plays not 17 games, then he needs to get more receiving yards on average. And so that's already a pretty lofty number. Like we said last week, the Chiefs don't have a ton of weapons kind of outside of him. And so that's literally the entire thought process. Like, it does not matter if that man's triple teamed. Like, bro is getting 60, 70, 80, 100 yards a game. So I'm not worried about it if he plays all 17. But if we're already starting off against one of the weaker defenses, I'd say, in the league, one of the bottom half teams in terms of defense in the Lions, if we're already not playing this game, like, I'm just nervous. But anyway, we'll hit more NFL later. We're going to start, though, with college football. This weekend was, like, full slate. There was week zero, and there was a couple, maybe six or seven games played week zero. But last weekend, Thursday through Monday, was the weekend where every single team in Division I football was, like, in action. 80-something games, I think, between, like, D1, 2, and 3. I was locked in all weekend. ECU didn't get embarrassed, which was hype. We played Michigan, lost by 27. We scored, like, we covered the spread. Feel like that's all you can ask for in that situation. Notre Dame's been super hot. They've played two, like, not like high schools, but like one and a half high schools. So I'm not sure, like, how much.
Yeah. We haven't allowed a touchdown in two games.
Yeah. But it was what Navy and Tennessee State.
But I understand our real test is going to be against NC State on Saturday. So
super hot start. Sam Heisman. Yeah, Sam Hartman.
Sammy Heisman, boy.
Sam Hartman looks like he could potentially be a Heisman candidate, is what I was going to say. And I know it's been like not great competition, but we're going to start the pod today. Ton of stuff from week one, a lot of upsets. Colorado beating TCU was big, Duke beating Clemson last night for us was huge. But we're going to start with our week one overreaction. So something that we both saw from week one that might be true at the end of the year, it might not be true, but as of today, we're pretty much bought in on with a very, very small sample size. So I want to actually start this one, and I know I just brought up Colorado. I'm going to stick with them. People are super hot on Colorado now because they beat TCU, and they have like 87 out of like 90 new players on the on the roster, and like they actually won a game and scored 45 points, and Deion looks like the real deal. My overreaction to week one is that Deion Sanders wins coach of the year. I'm already bought in on week one, and more than that, Deion Sanders wins coach of the year. Colorado wins 9 or more games this season and plays in a New Year's Six bowl game. I'm bought in. I believe. I didn't believe last weekend. Jonah, you sent me a lay where you had Colorado +20.5, something around there.
And you did not believe. You thought they were going to lose by three or more touchdowns.
Look,
there's no way Deion brings 80 more guys and loses.
I was not in belief. Yeah, and I was like, maybe Colorado covers 21 points in week one when we don't know anything about anybody yet. Is a lot of points. And TCU lost, obviously, their star quarterback. They lost 2 of their receivers. They lost a ton of their defense, all to just being seniors and or the draft. And so maybe TCU shouldn't have been ranked number 17. I think they were ranked 17 more because of how they finished last year and not necessarily who they brought back this year. But I was looking through Colorado's schedule, and this is why it's an overreaction. People are super hot on Colorado right now. Nobody's saying that they're going to a New Year's Six bowl game. Colorado still has real tests left. Colorado still plays at Oregon later in the season. Oregon might be a top 10 team by this time if they keep winning. They still have to play USC. USC is right after Oregon. So it's just two big games back-to-back to end September for them. They still have to play UCLA, who is not like the best team, but UCLA is always a 6-6, 7-5 team, always pulls off a couple upsets every year. They're like the Purdue of the Pac-12. They still play Oregon State. DJ Uiagalelei, whatever his name is, looked really, really good last week. And I think Oregon State might have played a high school, but he looked really good. And they finished the season at Utah, who, again, Utah looked really good against Florida. They could be a top 10 team as well. So the Pac-12 is actually going to be super fun this year.
The Pac-12 is good.
Being on the East,
bunch of good teams in there. So.
Being on the East Coast,
it's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Pac-12 for us is like the 11 o'clock, 11:30 games, and I have never cared in the past. Like, I'm not staying up to watch Stanford play like UCLA. I don't care. Like, I just don't care. The Pac-12 to me has literally just been like, every game is a shootout, and it's going to, like, the final score of every game is, like, 50-51. Like, there's just no defense. There's 600 yards a game for both teams, and I just am not staying up to 2 a.m. to watch that. But I think Colorado, for me, makes the Pac-12 watchable. Like, I don't care about any team in this conference. I have no loyalty to any team in this conference. I don't hate anybody in this conference. Like, I don't care. But in college football, and this is what I think is different about college in the NFL, and especially as a Panthers fan, this is why Matt Rhule failed in Carolina. And I guess with the same logic, this is why Nick Saban failed with the Dolphins. This is why, who went to the Cardinals? Who's at the Cardinals from college? Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah, this is why Cliff Kingsbury failed in Arizona. Because in the NFL, it's all professionals. That's your 9-to-5 job. You show up, you do your job, You don't care about your teammates. You don't have to care about your teammates. Obviously, it's nice if there's like some camaraderie, but it's a job. You get paid millions of dollars. It's a job. At the end of the day, you go out, you just perform. You don't care who's on your team. People don't even care about winning, I don't think, anymore. To me, even in, especially in the NBA, but a little bit now in the NFL, it's bag chasing. Dudes are bag chase, I mean, big in the NBA. But now in the NFL, you're seeing crazy contracts being thrown around. Unless you're a running back, you're bag chasing. Nobody cares about winning anymore. And these college coaches who are really good in college come to the NFL and they try to instill culture. And they try to be like this tough guy. You cannot control these players in the NFL. And that's where I think college coaches fail. But that's super unique about college, is that if there is a culture, it doesn't matter what guys you have in the locker room. I truly believe that. You can have the most mid group of guys, which honestly, except for maybe like Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, I don't think there's any like big names at Colorado. And those two aren't even like huge names until 48 hours ago. It doesn't matter what talent you have in college necessarily, as long as the culture is right. That's why Deion's going to win coach of the year number one. Dude is literally Facebook, Twitter's, Instagram's dream. Bro has a new quote every 6 hours. Dude is crazy. Dude's talking to every media. Dude's saying, where's my theme music in the lot? Bro's crazy, bro. His personality alone, even if Colorado sucks and goes like 4-8, he's a lock already week one for coach of the year. If they won more than zero games this year, he's coach of the year. Secondly, I think that culture, it's them 9 wins. And because the AP is just going to love them and keep ranking them, even if they have really, really bad wins, if they beat Stanford by 1 point, if they beat Colorado State in 2 weeks by 1 point in triple overtime, they're going to keep moving up. Doesn't matter. Colorado is like the darling child. The script loves Colorado this year. And I mean, me too. But people are going to want to see Deion, not even Colorado, Deion play in a New Year's Six Bowl. My week one overreaction is that Colorado is legit. Deion wins coach of the year. And Colorado will be playing in January a meaningful bowl game. Not the Cheez-It, Haribo gummy bear bowl in like Kansas. Like a real like Orange Bowl, Peach Bowl, Sugar Bowl, real bowl game.
All right. My week one overreaction is that Jordan Travis is going to win the Heisman Trophy and he's already locked it up. So I've been a Jordan Travis fan since last year, and he's been a huge key factor in the rebuild of Florida State over the past 2 to 3 years. And right now, with after the loss Clemson had to against Duke on Monday night, Florida is the top dog in the ACC. So on Sunday night against LSU, Jordan Travis accounted for 5 touchdowns, throwing 4 of them, and he ran one of them in. He threw for 342 yards and had 38 on the ground. I believe that Florida State is the hottest team in college football right now. They're really the only top 25 team that was, you know, ranked before week one that like really did something. This past week, they obviously had the biggest test going against LSU, and they showed out. They showed up. Caleb Williams, he's just not winning back-to-back Heismans. The voters don't like that. Jaden Daniels, who I believe had the second best odds to win the Heisman to start the year, he was being hyped up all summer. He just simply did not show up against the Seminoles on Sunday. So as the quarterback of the hottest team in football, Jordan Travis will win the Heisman Trophy. That is my week one overreaction.
I don't even know if Jordan Travis is a top 3 quarterback in college football right now, even after week one. And I just pulled up like the preseason betting odds. Jordan Travis was number 3, but J.J. McCarthy's right there. Quinn Ewers is right there. Sam Hartman's right there. Drake May, Joe Milton.
Right, but he's already locked it up. He's already
locked
one.
It up.
He's gonna win the Heisman.
Overreaction. What about Sam Hartman? I mean, I already said it, but you. I mean, as a Notre Dame guy, you really don't believe that Sam Hartman can win the Heisman? I feel like I have more belief in that than you.
No. I feel like Notre Dame just doesn't get any love. Like, it just doesn't happen.
But you will this year. Like, past 3 or 4 seasons, for the most part, your schedule was pretty weak. This year, it's like half of the games could be top 25 games.
It's just not going to happen. Like, I've seen it. I've been a fan since 2003 when I was born. Like, it's just not going to happen. The Heisman voters, I think Jordan Travis is just a flashier, no quarterback. Sam Horn's just going to be the one that sits in the pocket and makes throws. Jordan, they like Caleb Williams, for example, like scrambling, his ability to run. Like, they got to keep the defense honest with that. Jordan Travis is kind of the same type of quarterback.
But you don't think.
And we see these quarterbacks win all the time, like Lamar Jackson, Johnny Manziel, RG3, like all these quarterbacks that are making plays on the ground and through the air, like not just pocket passers. So
yeah, but I'm like, this year more than any in recent memory, Notre Dame has a spotlight. Like, obviously, every year they usually start ranked top 25. There's usually some national attention. But what if you beat Ohio State and Duke and USC? And what if Clemson stays in the top 25 and you roll around to your late schedule, whenever that game is, late October, early November, whenever, and you beat Clemson on the road? Like, you really think, even if best case scenario, Notre Dame goes 12-0, they finish as a top 4 team, go to the playoffs, like, there's no shot that Sam Hartman wins. I've been bullish on Sam Hartman since Wake Forest, and nobody cared about Wake Forest. So, of course, Sam wasn't going to win it there. But this is, like, he's finally on a nationally recognized team with a nationally recognized brand in Notre Dame as opposed to Wake Forest. Nobody outside of North Carolina knows what Wake Forest is. You finally have the spotlight on you, playing for what's supposed to be one of the best teams in college football this season because of the addition of him, and there's no shot.
I mean, there's a shot. There's always going to be two runner-ups. Right, there's going to be 3 finalists. There's going to be one guy who wins it every year. Hartman, not saying Hartman can't go to New York, to go to the ceremony. But I'm looking at the Florida State schedule too, and I believe they can go 12-0. I think their hardest test is going to be against Duke and Clemson. You know, they play Clemson in 3 weeks. Who knows if they can figure out their offense after just a terrible performance on Monday. But other than that, like, I'm not really seeing too much struggle in Florida State's schedule. So I think they can go 12-0. They can win the ACC. They have their conference game that Notre Dame also doesn't have. So there's spotlight on Florida State too. I just think Jordan Travis is going to do it.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I think winning the conference is going to actually play a lot. I feel like I just hammer you about this like all the time around football season. But I forgot that Notre Dame's not in a conference. So I think that if Travis was able to be like, I threw for 30, 40 touchdowns this year. I ran for another 10. I got a couple hundred rushing yards, a few thousand passing, like whatever it's going to be, plus a conference championship. Hey, low-key, bro, that's actually not a bad pick. Starting to talk me into Travis? Nah, bro, it's always been use up. I'm not pulling for Florida State. Nah, ain't no way, bro. All right, we're going to transition into Thursday Night Football. Back to the NFL. I am just amped, bro. Like we talked about last pod, college football sucks anyway. Like, it's dead after this season, and nobody cares. But the NFL. Thursday Night Football, Lions at Chiefs, first game of the season. The best quarterback in the National Football League versus Patrick Mahomes. Jonah, who are we picking here? What's the vibe? You know what? What's the vibe? Because you picked Lions last week to win the NFC North. So this is a big measuring stick.
Woke up this morning, sitting through, 4 or 5 hours of class, and periodically I'm just thinking about, what we're going to talk about today on the podcast. I'm like, who's going to win this football game? Because I think this will be close, no matter what. And this is before the news of Travis Kelce getting hurt. He hyperextended his knee in practice. He's questionable, being reevaluated on Wednesday, see if he's going to be available to even play on Thursday. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's Chiefs. Like the Chiefs are going to win. And I'm gonna tell you why the Chiefs win. The Chiefs. I did some research. You're gonna be happy. You're the stats guy. But
there we go.
I'm pulling some stats here.
I like numbers.
The Chiefs. The Chiefs are 33-9 at home. And this spans from the last four seasons and includes the playoffs. So since 2019, when they won the Super Bowl against the 49ers, they are 33-9 at home, and this is the best record out of any team in the NFL. So it is really hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. It's really hard to bet against the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's even harder to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in Arrowhead. So I'm going Chiefs if Travis Kelce plays. If Travis Kelce doesn't play, the Lions are winning.
Yeah, actually,
at least 10 points, by double digits.
I feel like
it's that big of a factor if Travis plays.
I feel like I just need to let you know that regardless if Kelce plays or not, I'm hammering Lions plus 6.5. I'm hammering Lions money line. It does not matter because Chris Jones is not playing. He's not got a new contract. There's no way that they figured out in 24 hours he's not playing. If Chris Jones does not play, the Chiefs, I don't care who else plays for the Chiefs, they're losing this game. Like I feel like he's just that essential. He eats up double teams, triple, it doesn't matter. Chris Jones is, if Patrick Mahomes was not on the team, Chris Jones is a better football player than Travis Kelce. He's the second best player on the team. Like, he's that guy. I cannot name another player on the Chiefs defense besides Chris Jones. And that honestly kind of feels like how the Chiefs are this season, is that except for their superstars, it's like nobody's. There's no one like average on their team. It's like a couple, like three or four like elite talents, and they got to carry a bunch of like scrubs. Not scrubs, but like scrubs pretty much. Lions are good. I didn't pick them to win the division. They're not going to. The Packers are. But Lions are good. Lions are going to push the Packers. Lions are going to fight for a playoff spot. Lions are going to win this game. 100%. This is like a .00% chance that the Lions win this game.
Being that the Chiefs are in the Broncos division, I see a lot of them. I get all the news. I keep updated because they're the team to beat in our division, and for the past 4 years have been the team to beat in the AFC. So I would love to see the Lions win this game. Love to see the Chiefs downfall, right? Love to that home record. Maybe they lose, you know, 3-4 games at home this year instead of going 7-1, 7-2 the past, you know, four seasons.
You're on it. They're going to. Like, this is not going to be. I would love to see. Not going to be the same 15-2, 14-3 Chiefs team. They're going to win the AFC West probably. Again, like I said, I would have loved to take in the Chargers. And that is my like unofficial pick, but I said the Chiefs were gonna ride with Kansas City until proven otherwise. But I really think that Kansas City could finish like 11-6, 10-7, which is a great record if you're like a Panthers fan, a Broncos fan. But there's an expectation that if Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, you're getting the one seed in the AFC every single year. You're pushing for a Super Bowl berth and victory every single year, regardless of the talent around you. That's the expectation. If Patrick Mahomes is your starting quarterback,
and that's why I'm picking them to win this game, because of Patrick Mahomes.
Who's he throwing to? If Kelce's out,
If Kelce's out, the Lions win. I said that. Kelce's out, Lions win. Kelce plays. Chiefs
doesn't
win.
Matter. Like, I mean, I know I just, I know I have to pull for Kelce, and I hope Kelce has 500 yards and we're halfway to the bet already. But you're going to quadruple team Kelce. I don't hate if Valdes-Scantling gets left one-on-one. I don't hate if Tony gets left one-on-one. I don't hate if Sky Morgan's, like, I don't care. I don't even know who my quarterbacks are in Detroit. I don't care. Like, Mahomes is great. But, like, you got to have, like, he can't throw the ball to himself. Bro's not lobbing it in the air, taking off 60 yards downfield and catching it. Like, there's nothing on this team. You got a good offensive line, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. There's not one other impactful player on this team that we know of yet. And they're just patching holes right now. And they can't fix the roster because you're paying your quarterback like $50, $60 million a year. And if you get Chris Jones back, you're paying him 20, 25. He might push for quarterback money because dude should get paid that way.
Are we sitting here saying that Juju Smith-Schuster was the answer to the Chiefs and why they won the Super Bowl? Because that's really who they lost on the outside on receivers. That's really it. They're running back the same offense that they just won the Super Bowl with, minus Juju Smith-Schuster.
I'm not going to say that's true. I need to see it
one time before I hammer whoever's playing the Chiefs at home next. Okay, I just need to see it one time.
The same feeling I have about Deion at Colorado, that culture, and that, like, Deion has those boys ready to die for him at Colorado. I think Dan Campbell's finally got that in Detroit. Like, Detroit as a city, if you just picture, like, the city of Detroit, it's very blue collar and, like, tough and hardworking and, like, gritty and grimy and dirty. And that's why I think, like, this Lions team is going to be, too. They're going to have the most unattractive 9-10 win season in maybe the history of football. Like, it's going to be nasty, and they're never going to blow anybody out, and they're always going to have to fight and claw and onside kick and go for it on fourth down and whatever. But this team's going to figure it out. They're going to start 1-0, walking into Arrowhead, walk in your trap, take over your trap, knocking off Patrick Mahomes. And then next week, we're going to have the same conversation about, is Patrick Mahomes really the best quarterback in the league? And now the Broncos should have been our pick in the AFC West and all this stuff. I'm telling you, and I know how cold of a take this is, sitting here early September saying that the Chiefs aren't going to do anything this year. Like, they might make the playoffs, but, like, they ain't winning their first playoff game. I don't care who it is. Seattle, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills. It doesn't matter. They're not winning a playoff game this season. There's nothing on this roster, especially minus Chris Jones. Give me Detroit. Give me Detroit -6.5. I don't care. I'll take the reverse spread. I'm that confident.
Yeah, I need to see it to believe it. Sorry, man. I'm not bought in.
Kid's not bought in. It is not bought in. All right, we're going to finish today bringing in our brand new segment, the Internet Take of the Week. Jonah actually brought this up, and this is going to be a weekly thing, so every single week expect to see this. Internet Take of the Week. Me and Jonah are both all over Instagram, all over, I'm not calling it X, all over Twitter, right? We follow a lot of different sports stuff, some meme pages, some crazy people, like just wild stuff. Internet Take of the Week, we're bringing the funniest, most controversial, whatever sports take from the internet. And we're just going to talk about it. It could be a 30-second conversation. It could be a 20-minute conversation. Lock in. Today's Internet Take of the Week from @4verts. All right, my timeline is inspiring me today with this prompt. What is the most vile, unpopular take you have about the 2023 NFL season? Like something that is genuinely shocking and off-putting. Jonah, what is your most vile, unpopular take about the 2023 NFL season?
The winner of the NFC South will not only have a losing record, but they will host and win a playoff game.
Yeah, that's terrible. Oh my gosh.
The NFC is it's such a weak conference this year, aside from whoever's winning the division. So we're looking to see the NFC South play a team in the wild card. I think I picked the Panthers to win the NFC South. Saints are right there. Buccaneers, Falcons. I mean, it's a toss-up. But I think they could beat a team in the Packers. They could beat a team like the Giants or the Lions or the Cowboys, at least put up a decent shot. And obviously this is not going to have much like factual basis behind it. It's just some wild out there take. But NFC South team is going to win a playoff game.
I don't actually, you know what? It's gross and thinking that like a team with 8-9, maybe even potentially like 7-10 record has a shot to make it to the divisional round is like gross. But like maybe it happens. Like the Falcons have are supposed to have an amazing run game. What if a team like the Seahawks or the Packers or the Vikings or whoever, what if they just get ran over? It's one game. One game.
Yeah, there's no series. It's win or go home.
And what I think is going to be really interesting about the like whoever makes it out of the South and hosts the playoff game is I think regardless of what team it is, their fans are going to show up for this game, the playoff game. Like it's going to be deep and it's going to be crazy.
And it's going to be a home game for them too. So
it's crazy, yeah. Because nobody from this division expects to make it out. Like somebody has to, and nobody feels good.
But it's going to be a dogfight to win the division. So
who exactly? Whoever makes it is like deep, deep commitment. Saints make it, Superdome's packed. Falcons make it, where do they play? Mercedes-Benz is packed. Bucks make it, Raymond James is packed. Panthers make it, it'll be like half full, which is pretty good for us. All right, it's going to be deep. And maybe it happens. I don't know. I can't. Yes, the Panthers are making it to the Super. You know what? I'm done being negative about it. I'm accepting it. The Panthers are making it to the Super Bowl. We're winning it. Bryce Young is the MVP. Like, it's happening. You know what? That was solid. Do you actually believe it, though?
Am I supposed to believe it?
Would you put money on it? Would you put money on the winner of the NFC South winning their first playoff game? Right now, on September 5th, would you put money on that?
I would.
Good. Then it's valid. My most vile take about the 2023 NFL season. Jacksonville is going to finish 13-4. Trevor Lawrence wins the MVP. And the Jaguars win their first Super Bowl in franchise history. Jaguars are winning the Super Bowl this year. Like, I'm bought in. That's 100%. I would put a $50 bet on that today. Like, I don't care. That's not me being for the pod. That is 100% serious. I'm all bought in on this Jacksonville team. Starts with the fact that I think they go 4-0 against the Colts and the Texans. So we're a fourth of the way there. I was originally going to say, and then I went all in, that the Jaguars start 6-0. First six games, Colts, Chiefs, Texans, Falcons, Bills overseas in Europe, and Colts. So they play the Colts twice and the Texans once. Three of their first six games are against the two worst teams in the AFC South. They get the Chiefs at home. Already said they suck. They get the Falcons at home. They suck. And they get the Bills in London. Like, I have no factual basis on this, but I feel like Jacksonville plays across the pond a lot.
I was thinking the same thing. They seem to always win in London.
I feel like they would have like a home following and that like London just treats them well. The rest of their schedule, I'll just go through it quick, is not that hard. Saints, Steelers, they have the 49ers. That's a tough one. Titans, Texans, Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Bucks, Panthers, Titans. They get a series against the AFC North, which is going to be a tough series, and the NFC South. It might go 4-0 in the NFC South series. And they play the Panthers on New Year's Eve. I have to start 2024 with an L, which sucks, but it's going to happen. I think worst case scenario, they go 13-4. I could see 15-2. Like, this team is going to be good. And as a result of that, Trevor Lawrence wins MVP. I am not bought in on ETN as a rusher. I'm not bought in on Jacksonville's offensive line being their strength. Tank Bigsby could be a dog, but I don't support running backs, so I don't care. But they have one of the best wide receiver rooms in football. Patrick Mahomes dreams of this wide receiver room just one time in his life. Bringing back Calvin Ridley from suspension, who would have been your wide receiver number one last year. Christian Kirk did an amazing job. He was fine. The best wide receiver in the National Football League, Zay Jones out of East Carolina University, is still your number three guy. I think a lot of teams would like him as their number two guy. Dude, solid. Like, there's real possibility that Trevor Lawrence could throw for 5,000 yards this season. All I'm saying. Their defense, they drafted really well on the defensive side of the football. They brought in free agents. Trayvon Walker, number one overall pick. We're like, dude, what is happening in the league? He was not bad. His first season as a rookie, especially as a pass rusher, going against veteran tackles, was not bad. He makes the leap this year. Trevor Lawrence went from a trash quarterback year one, was not his fault, bro. It was just thrown into a terrible situation, to an okay quarterback. He's taking the leap this season. He's fifth. I think I looked before we started recording. He's fifth right now in MVP odds. I don't think Mahomes wins MVP. I think I've hammered that this pod. He's number one right now. Joe Burrow's hurt right now. Maybe he's going to be okay week one. Does he pull something, tear something again? Is he limited in the first half of the season? Going against really, really good pass rushers in his own division with TJ Watt and Myles Garrett and a Ravens defense that seems to always play well with nobodies. I don't think that the Bills are going to be that good this year. I think Josh Allen's window for a Super Bowl is closed. I don't think that their defense is good enough. Like, all these dudes in front of them, one of the requirements to be MVP is play on a good team, which to me should not be a requirement. Like, if you're balling out on an 0-17 team, but you throw for 8,000 yards this season, you should win MVP, but you're not going to. But that's a requirement in today's league, is you have to play for a good, competitive, fun team. Jacksonville is super young. They play in a trash division. Lawrence can put up crazy numbers against the Texans secondary, against the Colts secondary. Like, he's got such an opportunity. He's like 26, maybe 25, 26. He's got such an opportunity to win MVP. And I know it's Jacksonville, like, is going to win their first Super. That's crazy, right?
Trevor Lawrence is 23 years old.
He's 23. Okay, even better. I think the regular season AFC is going to be stacked. But I think the playoff AFC is wide open. I think the Chiefs make the playoffs wide open. If Miami, Buffalo, or New York from the AFC East makes the playoffs, I don't love like any of those three teams to do anything. I think they're really solid picks to win the AFC East. Any one of those three can make an argument. And even the Patriots, because they always have a good defense and Bill Belichick. Like, I think any of those four teams, you could make a realistic case to win the AFC East. Come playoff time, I like Jacksonville over all of them. AFC South, I don't see anybody that can challenge them. AFC, where are we at? North. Bengals is a tough one. Ravens is a tough one. I like them over Cleveland and over Pittsburgh. So I really only see two other teams that they really would struggle with. And they might not play either of them, depending on how the seeding works out. I don't think it's a tough ask that Jacksonville makes it to the Super Bowl at least. Now, from the NFC, you're probably going to end up playing either Philly or San Fran. That's tough. But you have the MVP. You finish with your best record in franchise history. Your best team since Blake Bortles was your starting quarterback. Figure it out. Jacksonville wins their first Super Bowl. And why I think it all just like put the bow on top, cherry on top, why it's going to happen is because Doug Peterson is your head coach. Nobody cared about Philly until Doug Peterson was their head coach. He's really, really good at turning things around. He is a super solid head coach in this league. And with a really good quarterback, really young team, a young team who's already experienced, who already won a playoff game, and almost beat the Chiefs in the divisional round. This is the year for Jacksonville. And as a fellow Big Cat, I support this. Jacksonville wins their first Super Bowl. Lock it in. I don't care.
I believe.
You have to. I literally just gave you every reason. You have to.
All right, we're going to go today's Bible verse, which is John 15:13. And it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Go follow the pod on our socials. They're going to be in the description. That's going to be a wrap on today's episode. We'll see y'all next time. Stay frosty.